Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
All right, here was our July 4th assignment. I have now reigned about 50 years in victory or peace, beloved by my subjects, dreaded by my enemies, and respected by my allies. Riches and honors, power and pleasure have waited on my call. In this situation, I have diligently numbered the days of pure and genuine happiness which have fallen to my lot. They amount to 14. Conditioning works hard to make us believe the lie that if the externals of life were different, we would be happy and satisfied. Even though that's been disproved many, many times, we continue to believe the lie when we're identified with ego. It's so believable. I'm not happy. I ask the question, why am I not happy? That question is usually asked without my conscious knowledge in the unconsciousness of conditioned mind. Through the same unconscious process, the answer I receive is, you're not happy because of X, Y, or Z. Makes so much sense, so long as we don't examine it. As soon as we examine our circumstances, we realize we're unhappy because we're in an unconscious conversation in conditioned mind, rather than being present where we are. Today, shift attention from unconsciously ruminating with ego in conditioned mind about what's wrong and bring attention to the pure and genuine happiness of this year now. Record and listen.
It's a good one, huh?
All right. Mm-hmm. Shall we hear from our first caller?
Yes.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Mark from Chicago.
Hello, hey, Mark.
Hi, it's nice to talk to you again. You know, I spoke with you a couple weeks ago, I guess it was, about our turkey that got killed by the coyotes, and I've got a continuation on that ties in with today's assignment. And so what we did was we went out and we bought 6 baby turkeys about a week ago. They're one-day-old baby turkeys. And probably don't have to tell you that baby turkeys are no end of joy. And so when I was reflecting on this, I realized that one of the things that conditioning has done to me in this realm of animals and the whole thing about worrying about them and if they're hurt and all that sort of thing is that it has taken the joy away from owning the animal by making me focus on things that might not ever actually happen. So worrying about, you know, my dog getting attacked or worrying about whatever, the coyotes or the turkeys and that sort of thing, it makes me not available and present to appreciate the just days and weeks and months of joy that we get out of these animals, you know, whether it's a dog or a goat or a cat or whatever it is. And
that we can project their getting.
Project their giving, did you say?
Getting. So
oh, getting,
you,
yes.
You and your wife get a tremendous amount of joy from having them, from sharing life with them, and we project that they do too. They seem very happy.
Yes.
They seem very happy to be with loving people who take good care of them.
Yes, yeah, and it was, when I reflect on that more, it's really a lesson in what suffering is all about, you know. So I suffer in my mind when I think about all the things that could happen with an animal, and when something does happen, that is really the moment for conditioning to say, see, you knew it. You knew it was going to happen. Why did you go down this path? Why did you get this animal? And
why did you love, Mark? Why did you love when you knew it was you were going to die?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, it makes me reluctant to even want to get a dog. I mean, I've had a dog my whole life. I would never be without a dog. And yet, when our last dog died, you know, a few years ago, I could feel that pull from conditioning saying, Well, you know, you're getting older. What if the dog outlives you? Who will take care of the dog? What will happen with the dog? And, I mean, just an endless stream of things about what could go wrong with this dog, instead of the fact that for, you know, 9,000 nights out of the 9,001 we owned the dog, he was on my lap watching TV, you know, and just focused on the wrong thing.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's a great example of how it works. But it works that way for all conditioned people all the time. So don't do anything that could result in an experience that conditioned mind says you don't want. And in that way, conditioned mind is in full and absolute control all the time.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I miss out.
Yes. Yes. Well, you do and they do.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? Because it's a two-way street, right? So,
right.
You know, yeah. Everybody who loves has I project, a better life than everybody who doesn't. Now, the people who don't love, they're going to die too. And everything around them is going to die too.
Right.
So which would we rather have? Would we rather have the 9,000 days of joy and fun and love, or 9,000 days without that?
Right.
Because it's not like we're going to prevent life from happening if by us closing our hearts.
Yeah, and it also makes me, unavailable emotionally. I think I can't remember if I mentioned that when the turkey died, you know, my wife said had such a strong sense of grief about that. I mean, you know, an outward expression of grief about that, and I didn't. And I think that one reason I don't have a full expression of grief is that I don't want to go into that place where conditioning can say, see, look at the grief, look at all this, look at how horrible this is, and remind me of it. And so I try to avoid doing things that will be available as ammunition for conditioning
so
later
There are two things about that. One, so my favorite example of what you're talking about is I am going to spend my whole life in disappointment rather than risk being disappointed.
Yes.
Right? So the reason that you didn't have the outward expression of grief that your wife did is because ego has you shut down. So you're experiencing every day what she experienced for a few days. So
yes,
who has the better deal? Right?
Yeah.
And so, so the other aspect of that, Mark, that I think is so important for all of us to get. So I was just talking with Ashwini about this, in fact. So people will say, you know, I've stopped making commitments because, I make a commitment, I get talked out of doing it, and then I get beaten up.
Right.
Well, stop being beaten up. Don't stop making commitments. I mean, that's just crazy, right? And yet, in conditioned mind, it makes perfect sense. So if I shut down completely, if I close my heart, then I'll never be hurt. Well, closing my heart, I am hurt.
Right.
Yeah. So it's good
like
to
that
get
old
it
joke.
All out there. Yeah, it's what?
I was going to say it's like that old joke that I've read so much about the harmful effects of smoking that I've stopped reading.
Precisely. Yeah. And the sad part of that is, in conditioned mind, that makes sense. What I'm troubled over is reading these difficult things, not the smoking.
Right.
That makes sense. So people will, you know, people will say, well, I'm going to, we were talking about this last night on open air, you know, I'll quit practicing and then I won't be aware of what conditioning is doing to me, so I'll feel better.
Yeah.
Well, no, stop letting conditioning do that to you and then you'll feel better.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Oh, there's so much in that. Sherry, I'm not sure I could reflect at all. But the one thing that I really, that struck me is that bamboozle element that you're talking about, right, where the deflection is to the content rather than
yes.
the ability to see that conditioning is the problem. And those beliefs that go with that process, that love implies only the emotion of pleasure or joy and not the wonderful pain of loss.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's the dualistic perspective of carving life up into the acceptable and the non-acceptable and completely missing the totality of the experience.
Yes. Yes. That we have been talked out of being sentient beings. We've been convinced that only certain feelings are good and okay to have. And that's not being human. That's not being alive or awake.
Mm-hmm.
We get to feel it all. And
yeah, we get to feel it all.
And, yeah. And is it painful? Is it, you know, you lose somebody you love? Is it sad? Is it hard? Is it painful? Yeah. Okay, but what if there's nothing wrong with that?
Yes. Yes. And it actually deepens our capacity for
yes.
love.
Yes.
Yeah, rather than, I mean, meaning we're so much more open rather than so much
yes.
more closed, because the vessel that contains it all keeps getting expanded.
Yes. Yeah, the heart is just bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, capable of more and more and more love. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're not live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Loren from Connecticut.
Hi.
Hi. Good to
can
be
I ask
on
you,
the call.
May I ask you a quick question?
Yes.
Did you just pronounce your name Loren?
Yes.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah. I thought about that. I don't tend to correct people very often with my name, but it's good for people to know my name, huh?
Yeah, well, it's. I mean, you know, I see it written, and it's Lauren, right?
Yeah.
But then you say it, and it's Loren. So
yes.
Your name is Loren, not Lauren. So good, thank you for that.
Okay.
What's going
good.
On, Loren?
I've been recording about this assignment a lot. I've been participating, and then also doing Zen coaching for the first time. So. I've been really watching the conversation in general the past couple of weeks, but then related again specifically to this assignment. And what I'm seeing is, you know, that conversation is nearly constant. And what it often looks like is focusing on two things. You should do this, you should do this, you should do this. It has a lot of ideas about what I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep. And then the other thing is it has a lot of turning my attention to, like, whatever the most current unacceptable thing is. Like, wherever I can talk myself into, it reminds me, yeah, but this is the real problem. And so what I've been seeing is I'm practicing so much. I'm talking myself again and again back to the present, back to just this really amazing place, and then it's only a second before it's like, okay, now you feel good. What are you going to do? What about this? What about that unacceptable
yes.
thing? So it's just like it's over and over again.
It's astounding, isn't it? What kind of word would we use for holy son of a gun? This is nuts.
Yeah.
Right? And that we live in that, I mean, most people live in it for an entire lifetime and never have a clue that there is something specific going on and that it's unnecessary. So to see it the way you're seeing it, just laid out in front of you like that, I don't know, it's like a science fiction movie, isn't it?
It
the
is.
Body snatchers, yeah, the body snatchers or Matrix or something. We start looking around, going, what in the heck? How is this possible?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's a little bit related more to yesterday's assignment, but it's why I'm so grateful for the recordings, because I've been, you know, I'm still doing all my normal things, but I've been recording a lot. And so just in 6 weeks, I have over 200 recordings. So I was really identified. It wasn't the horror show that it normally could be, because I sort of saw that it was going on, but it still had me. And so I decided I was having trouble working with the current, you know, what was going on for me. I was recording, but I was identified. So I decided to just go back and listen to some random ones. And, you know, some of the recordings I've made when I was not identified and when I was really here and doing something from Project Joy, I can barely even recognize who's on those recordings. It's just so, wonderful and a totally different orientation. And so then your body snatcher metaphor is perfect, because it's like, who is that?
Right. What was she smoking?
Yes.
This is not real life. Uh-huh. But listen to it long enough, do you find that your energy starts moving toward her experience rather than what's going on in conditioned mind?
Yes, definitely. And it's not even taking that long. It can happen pretty quickly, that it's like, oh yeah, I mean, this is so clearly the place that I'd want to live from. I'm so surprised by this person. I'm so surprised by what's here. And
I like her.
Yes, I like her. And there's so much more, I've lived enough with different kinds of fear and anxiety. No, okay, I've been there enough. Like, I know that doesn't go anywhere. And so, it's really quick that I go to that experience. And then it's like I was saying, it's so funny how quick it is that I'm there. And it knows just what little part of me is remaining that's sort of allured by something to be like, okay, so who are you going to call now? What should you do?
That is so clear. The way you've laid it out is so accurately clear. And then that's the practice, right? Now you know what goes on. You know how conditioning operates and what it's like to be identified with it. You mm-hmm. know what it's like not to be identified with it, to be present, and you know how it pulls a person back into relationship with it. And now mm-hmm. it's just practicing that over and over. More and more recordings from when you're here and present, so that is clearly what is true, what is so for you. It's a place that you can go to every time you turn your attention there. And that conditioned reaction, of course, it's not going to be happy about this, right? So there's going to be a giant campaign to get you to believe something negative that you're going to give attention to. But increasingly, there's just no contest. It's like, I don't feel like myself. What is myself? Well, myself is here, listening to the birds, seeing the flowers, looking mm-hmm. at the sky. Enjoying the trees. That's me. That's me alive and present. But what are you going to do? And if there's this thing that you got to worry about, and there's this part. No, that's not me. And I don't want to give it any energy.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I love the assignment from this week that was about, you know, how it's the miracle that we can get across the country, but it would have us focus instead on, you know, how the internet didn't work. You know, it would, the fact that I'm practicing so much and I'm still getting identified and bamboozled every day for some time, it would have me want to focus on that rather than, okay, that's happening every day, but look at what else is also happening. I have these recordings to listen to. I have this compassionate place that comes from I don't know what, that I have proof that it's there because I can listen to it again. And so... it's kind of applying the assignment to that. Like, it would have me focus on getting identified and, you know, that I'm still not when I have all this other stuff. Yeah.
This is where you want to get Buddhist, okay? So, again, the Buddha would say this. Which do you think is more? All of the water in all of the rivers and streams and lakes and ponds and oceans of the world, or all the tears that you have shed in lifetime after lifetime of suffering? And he said, it's the tears. So if we talk about, since before the beginning of beginningless time, human suffering, and we are now, we have reached a place karmically, you know, that's a fall down and just never stop saying thank you, because it's no credit to us. But we are in a place now in conscious awareness where we can end that suffering. So do you get identified for a little while every day? Sure. Of course. You're ending lifetimes of suffering. It's not going to happen in a day. But you're doing it. And you know what's possible for you. And so you just keep practicing what is true and what is so. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. I can't wait to listen to that again. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. Lovely talking with you.
You too.
That I know who you are.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you, Shane.
Ooh, I cut you off prematurely. Sorry, Lauren. That was such a wonderful sort of layout, how practice works. And
oh,
I love
gosh.
That. The identification of the bamboozle, that no matter how we are doing, it gets to have the last word on framing the narrative. And when we catch on to that and stop letting it do that, then instead of being in ignorance, we are in awareness, right? The awareness is expanded to include all that is, not what it, what it has us focused on, which is that narrow place of what is not.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and it's, well, I mean, it's like anything that we learn, that we get, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then it's repeating it. That's why we go back to the old, you know, golf swing or tennis, and now all those sports analogies that take us to that place of, oh, I see how to do it. Now I just, mm-hmm. I'm just practicing that. And
yep.
and it's getting easier and easier and more fun and more fun and easier and more fun every time I practice it.
Yeah.
So the real work is getting to that place of, oh, I see it. And then it's just, choosing life over conditioning.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Hello?
Uh-oh.
Next caller? Okay, that's not working. Let me find someone else.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen.
Oh, hi, Jen.
Hey, that was that surprising, like, whoa, it was me. I got to talk the other day, so I'll just very quickly say, and then let's see if somebody else can get in too, but just to say that today is my birthday, and it is just such a treat that I get to practice with you all on my birthday, so it's really
happy
fun to be
birthday,
here.
Happy birthday, Jen!
Thank
you. Birthday, Jen.
Happy birthday. Wow, you had a big birthday celebration all your life, right? Just move that party one day forward, and those fireworks are for you.
I like that, yes.
Oh, it sounds like that definitely actually didn't happen. But it could from now on. You just extend your birthday a little bit.
I like it. Very good. Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's really fun to be with you all, and maybe there's space for somebody else to get into. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Jen. All right. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen in Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello,
hey, Karen.
Hi, and yesterday was my birthday.
No. So
yes,
you really did have the fireworks all your life. Wow. Well, happy birthday, Karen.
Thank you. Well, I loved the assignment yesterday because I just thought it's just funny. Life is that we could be sincere and sincerely think we only had 14 days of happiness out of 50.
Yes.
50 years.
And that he probably did.
And he probably
right?
did.
I mean, how astounding that he was that aware that in spite of a perfect life, he was made unhappy day after day after day. Now, who can't relate to that when we look at egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate?
Yeah, it's just that kind of like, it is like it just wants to snatch the joy.
Oh.
Yes, but it could have been better. Yes, but.
This
happened.
Yeah. This is great. This is swell. This is perfect. But what about that? And it'll even, in a completely despicable way, well, yeah, but there are children starving.
Oh, yeah. So who are you to
be happy? Now, not that you're going to do anything about it, of course, but you need to feel bad. Yeah. It's not good.
So yesterday, just a little share, my ex-husband sent me a present I got it a couple days ago, and I opened it yesterday on my birthday. And my instant reaction was to just be so disappointed because I didn't like it. I mean, it was just like, and then I got to be with that.
Karen.
It was like, and,
Karen?
Yes.
Karen,
yes.
This is your ex-husband?
Yes, I know.
A present for your birthday, and you
in
were disappointed.
I know, and I was just like, this is how I, you know, with the condition, I just can't win for losing.
Exactly.
No, and then I was beating myself up that, oh, Karen, look
at you being
disappointed.
No.
Yeah.
The voices were beating you up.
The voices were beating me up. Thank you.
The same ones that said, oh, I don't like it. Oh, I'm so disappointed, then beat you up for being a person who would be disappointed when your ex-husband sent you a birthday present.
Yeah, and a really nice card, and the whole thing. I mean, so anyway, I just sat with it. I was camping, and it was just like, I just went in my little tent, and I just sat with it, and I was just like, the feeling, it was just like all this emotion and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, I just thought, I'm just going to just be with it and know that this is exactly what it is. This is just,
this is just egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate trying to ruin your day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And no reason
that's
to take it personally. That's what it does. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
I didn't invent it.
That's what it does. And anyway,
that's
inside of lots of wonder. And then today, driving home from camping, I got stopped for speeding.
Uh-oh.
And my insurance said it expired a couple days ago. And the officer wrote me a warning. I started crying. I was so overcome with his compassion.
Uh-huh.
I mean, when he told me, it was your birthday yesterday, I'm going to write you a warning. I was just like, it was like almost like blew my circuits of what's possible.
Yes.
And
yes.
And I'm still
yes.
kind of like, this just happened, I mean, this is just like an hour ago. So I'm still like, oh my God, what is even, this world I'm living in is so, like, I don't even know what's possible. There's so much.
Well, that's right. And here's the thing. A total stranger, an officer of the law, who is there to stop people like you from speeding without insurance or speeding with insurance, has more compassion for you than the voice in your head.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah. So that's just to put that voice in perspective, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do we want to listen to it? No. Do we know what it is? Do we take it personally? No. It is it is there, I think, as our best opportunity to choose something different, like compassion.
Like compassion.
And kindness, yeah. All right, Karen. Yeah. Well, happy birthday. Get that insurance taken care of and sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? We'd like to keep you around. Okay, good. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Karen. Happy birthday.
Bye.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing how life gives us the gift of knowing that we are cared for. The synchronicity of that, right, to receive the gift that conditioning is disappointed by, and then to get to receive a gift from life that tells us how much we are given to, that just gave me chills.
Yeah. If we just turn our attention to it, right, if we just look for the signs of kindness and compassion and caring, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
All right.
Here's our assignment for today. Yeah, we are. Here's the assignment for today. The greatest part of our happiness depends on our dispositions, not our circumstances. We've all known people who are cheerful regardless of circumstances, and those who are not cheerful regardless of circumstances. If, in fact, our experience of life depends not on what happens to us, but on how we are with what happens to us, that leaves us quite a lot of room to maneuver, doesn't it? If our happiness is dependent upon how we are, this is good news because we know we can alter how we are. How do we know that? We've done it. We've changed our mind about countless content over the course of our life. Most of us can easily call to mind not only changes such as learning to enjoy new foods, but also alterations in orientation, such as appreciating challenges we might have previously chosen to avoid. Ego would like us to believe how we are is immutable, but we know it isn't. We have karmic predispositions. We have learned beliefs, assumptions, habits, and behaviors, but none of that is terminal unless we choose it to be. Today, notice how you tend to approach life and consider one small habit you would like to alter in order to revamp your disposition. Record and listen.
Operative word, small.
Yes.
Right? This is not the time to decide, I'm going to end conditioning. That's not the small habit we have in mind, right?
No.
All right.
No.
Well,
thank you so much,
Sherry. Winnie.
Take good care. Talk to you tomorrow. You too.
All right. Go happy.